In the Warren County Radio Bible School today, we're going to begin with our special feature in which we read from the Rock Cliff Review. Now, that is the bulletin we pass out at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff when you gather in that meeting house on Sunday morning. And we have a lot of news items in that bulletin having to do with our spiritual family that assembles there. But also, I usually include an article to read, and it has something to do with the sermon I'm about to preach that day. And the title of the sermon and the title of the article for this bulletin is, A Bruised Reed Shall He Not Break. Does that bring anything to mind? Well, listen to this, and maybe it will. The manner in which Jesus went about his work in Galilee anticipated the spiritual nature of the kingdom that he came to establish. Jesus had the power to impose his will on the world and destroy all his enemies. But in Matthew 12:14-16 we read, The Pharisees went out and held counsel against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known. Those ambitious of earthly rule do not unnecessarily withdraw themselves and purposely suppress the report of their great deeds. But Jesus did. Matthew continues, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Matthew 12:17-21. The prophecy that Matthew referenced is that of Isaiah 42:1-4. We could readily forgive those who may have read these words of old and wondered of whom the prophet spoke, but we marvel at those who know what Matthew said and still speculate on its possible application to someone else. It is true that Isaiah spoke of Cyrus as a servant of the Lord, and in other places Isaiah spoke of the nation of Israel as the Lord's servant, but these words do not fit what we know about Cyrus and about Israel. Matthew tells us they were fulfilled in Jesus. We should be swift to hear and slow to speak, James 1:19, when it comes to what God has said in his word. No exposition of Isaiah's prophecy can be satisfactory outside of the context of Jesus. Jesus is the servant whom the Lord upheld. Jesus is the chosen one in whom the Lord delighted. Jesus is the one upon whom the Lord put his spirit. And Jesus is the one who would bring the Lord's justification to the Gentiles. Isaiah 42:1. Jesus did not strive, nor cry, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street as a rabble-rouser. Isaiah 42:2. Multitudes came to him. And to those who came, he opened his mouth to preach humility, meekness, mercy, purity, and peace. Matthew 5:1-12. A bruised reed is readily broken. A smoking flax is easily extinguished. Isaiah 42:3. But Jesus came to heal the weak. As Isaiah said of him, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house, Isaiah 42:6-7. Jesus will accomplish that which he came to do. Isaiah said, he shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth. And the isles shall wait for his law, Isaiah 42:3-4. Here is how the Spirit of God had Matthew render Isaiah's words. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust, Matthew 12:20-21. God's judgment would extend to all men. For he created heaven and the earth and gave breath to the people and spirit to those who walk upon it, Isaiah 42:5. The certainty of Isaiah's prophecy was sure, for as the former things prophesied had come to pass, so also would these new things he was declaring, Isaiah 42:8-9. These new things would call for a new song, Isaiah 42:10. And this new song would be heard from the ends of the earth, Isaiah 42:10. God would be praised from the isles of the sea, to the cities of the wilderness, to the villages of the desert dwellers, to those seeking refuge in the rocks, to those who would shout from the tops of the mountains, Isaiah 42:10-11. Verily, let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. Isaiah 42:12. You see, what I'm doing at Rock Cliff, I'm preaching through the prophecies of Isaiah, and I'd come to chapter 42, and that was the sermon, in short, the sermon that I preached that day about that prophecy that is fulfilled in Christ. Now, I read from the Rock Cliff Review because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And so we're looking at these old Sunday school lessons in this school. This one, E.A. Elam prepared for the Sunday schools of September 11, 1927, about that time that Solomon dedicated the temple. Now, I ask you, in our last class, if you would turn to Psalm 122. Psalm 122 is the devotional reading for this Sunday school lesson. I'm reading from the American Standard Version of 1901. And the superscription to this psalm says, A Song of Ascents of David. I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of Jehovah. Our feet are standing within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, that art builded as a city that is compact together, whether the tribes go up, even the tribes of Jehovah, for an ordinance for Israel, to give thanks unto the name of Jehovah. For there are set thrones for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that they shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces, for my brethren and my companions' sake. For well I now say, Peace be within thee. For the sake of the house of Jehovah our God, I will seek thy good. Now, in the introduction, there want four things worthy of consideration to present themselves. One, the necessity for the temple. Two, the preparation for building the temple. Three, the building the temple. And then four, dedicating the temple. So let's start with the necessity of the temple. Since man first sinned, the shedding of blood had been necessary in order to the remission of sins. And according to the law, I may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood, and apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Hebrews 9:22. The earth became defiled by sin, and the sacrifice of blood could not be offered except in a consecrated place upon a consecrated altar by a consecrated priest. The sinner cannot approach God in his own name. Everything, instruments and vessels used in the service of God must be dedicated by blood. Hebrews 9:19-21. This blood of animals typified the blood of Christ, which alone can save from sin. Hebrews 23:26. Just after giving the Ten Commandments to Moses, God said, "An altar of earth shalt thou make unto me, and shall sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, thy sheep, and thy oxen. In every place where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee." Exodus 20:24. At first, the tabernacle was erected by Moses according to God's pattern or plan. Exodus 25:9 and Hebrews 8:5. And it was dedicated by the blood of animals. And the Israelites were to make their offerings at the door of the tent of the meeting, Leviticus 17. Hence, as we have learned in the last lesson, Solomon sought the Lord at the tabernacle, which was then at Gibeon, 2 Chronicles 1. God promised that the Israelites became settled in the land, he would choose a place out of all the tribes to put his name there, and to that place they should bring all their offerings and sacrifices and keep the feast. They could not offer sacrifices in every place they came to. This place which God chose was Jerusalem. "Since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city out of the tribes of Israel to build an house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be prince over my people. But I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people Israel." 2 Chronicles 6. For this reason Solomon built the temple, and have built the house for the name of Jehovah, the God of Israel. From the dedication of this temple until Jesus died on the cross, the Israelites were required, when not impossible, to keep their feast and make all their various offerings at Jerusalem. Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, led the 10 tribes away from Jerusalem as the place of worship, which was a great sin, and wrought great ruin in Israel. From that time on, the place where men ought to worship was a matter of religious discussion, and was sprung upon Jesus by the woman of Samaria at Jacob's well. Jesus told her that she and her fathers did not know where they were doing, what they were doing in worshiping in that mountain, but that the Jews on that question was right. And so there was preparation for the building of this temple. That's point number two. There's the need for it, one, and preparation for it, two. David had it in his heart to build this house for God's name, and this was pleasing to God. But God did not allow David to build it because David was a man of war and had shed much blood. God promised that Solomon would build it, and David was permitted to gather an abundance of material and to contribute largely out of his own private treasury for the house. This would make over $1 billion in gold in our money, and almost $1 billion in silver besides the value of the precious stones of brass and iron. God gave David, by the Holy Spirit, the pattern of the tabernacle, as he gave Moses, the pattern of the temple, as he gave Moses the pattern of the tabernacle. And David delivered to Solomon, saying, "All this I have been made to understand in writing from the hand of Jehovah."